it's me, Tech Sergeant Chance Johnson, for the 140th Wing Podcast, 140th Wing Public Affairs, and today I'm talking to Major Benjamin Yokley, who recently participated in a very worthy and noble fundraising event on behalf of the family of a fallen service member. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, sir. It was August 18th, right? It was really recently.
Yeah, just this past weekend in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about what's your background, first of all, with the Wing?
Yeah, I came over to the 140th back in 2018. I'm a 2015 Academy grad, did about three and a half years active duty, and then had the opportunity to palace chase out of active into the Guard. Grew up in Colorado, so wanted to come back home. As an intel guy, I saw that we had the Vipers here and called up the shop and was fortunate enough to find a billet in there. I've been with the intel shop ever since then and just moved up into the Wing XP function.
All right. Okay. And so as far as the Ironman competition, tell me a little bit about what kind of triggered you to want to be involved in that? Have you done it before? And, you know, what inspired you to want to do it this time around?
Yeah. I got into triathlon actually back in 2015, 2016. It was a means of maintaining one fitness and two a competitive nature while I was away from professional baseball for a little while. So I kind of grew over the years, and I've done five or six halves now, one full Ironman back in 2022. And it kind of turned into, one, a hobby, like I said, for fitness and for a competitive outlet, but then also turned into something I kind of got pretty good at too. So when I looked at my inbox back in January, February, and saw the email from 140th PA that there's an opportunity to do a half Ironman and to represent the Ironman Foundation and the Gold Star program. That was something I immediately looked into and applied for.
When you saw the notification earlier this year for looking for people to register for the Ironman competition, what was kind of like your draw? What made you want to do it?
It was knowing that it was affiliated to the Gold Star family program.
And that's separate from the, is that like a separate entity from the Ironman Foundation?
So it's one of the programs that the Ironman Foundation supports.
Okay.
It took me a little bit of studying and research to figure out how it all worked. But the IMF basically supports about 10,000 different charities and causes. The Gold Star family program is one of them. And I mean, they have hundreds of races every year all around the world, whether it's a half, a 70.3, or a full, a 140.6. And the IMF selects certain races to focus on certain charity events. So for this year, they chose the Louisville 70.3 and the Boulder 70.3 for Gold Star athletes to compete in. And they had about six athletes per race is what it came down to. So going back to your question as to what kind of drew me into that, I was looking, it was like I said, it was back in January or February. So in the winter, didn't really have a race schedule lined up for the year, looking for things I could focus on. And then also had mentioned I'd done four or five other races previously, and those had all just been for personal benefit. And this was one that was for a much larger purpose and cause in myself. And that pretty much just immediately trumped any other races that I had thought of doing this year. I think, you know what, I want to put in this effort for something that's well beyond myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of one of the main drawing factors. Went through the application process, applying through Ironman Foundation. They looked at my previous race history, my current military status, and then they asked for a family that I know is a Gold Star family that I could represent. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more, but it ended up being the Walker family. But as I was going through the application process, and it took a couple of months to get through that, one of the requirements is to fundraise about $1,800 to $2,000 for the program. And that's kind of in lieu of a registration fee that you would normally pay. So Ironman events are not cheap. Usually for a half, they're anywhere from like $500 to $800 plus travel, kit, gear, equipment, all that kind of stuff. So IMF athletes don't pay a registration or anything like that. They just raise all their funds for the program that they're supporting, and it kind of balances out in that way.
That's great. And so when you approached Major Walker, mm-hmm. call signs Bandit,
yep.
What were his thoughts? What was his reaction when you said that you were inspired to do this?
Yeah, I was a little hesitant at first, just because it's a very sensitive topic. And I'm not sure, like, I'm sure every family reacts a little bit differently to it, whether they want to keep it very personal to themselves or if they're open about it. So while we were on the East Coast for ONE, just over, you know, a beer or two at a local restaurant, and I asked him, like, hey, man, how would you feel if I represented your family for this race? I have other options if you're uncomfortable with it. But as soon as I brought it up, he said, no, that would be incredible. His brother's widow now is still very active, and she travels and does certain events with the Army and the equivalent and his former unit. So it does seem like his family is pretty active about doing this type of thing. So Bandit was very open. He's like, that would be great. We'd really appreciate it. So from there on, it was kind of smooth sailing.
And what's Bandit's brother's name?
It was Micah E. Walker.
Okay. Yeah. And what was his affiliation with the military?
He was a Green Beret. He was a captain as well. And he passed during a dive accident down in Florida back a couple of years ago now.
What was your experience with, what were your results? How did you do? How did you come out?
Yeah. So as soon as I got accepted, like I mentioned, that was going to be like my A race for the year. So I trained for it, got onto a 70.3 specific training program. I was putting in about 15 to 18 hours a week training for swim, bike, run. I took my bike and trainer out with me to ONE when we were on the East Coast. And just kind of had like a private cycling station in my hotel room, making sure I was getting my hours in, and then running in the early mornings before it got too hot out there with the really hot and humid Virginia, you know. So I was putting in as much effort as I could, and then came back, felt like I was in the best shape for a half I'd been in. Swimming had been a little bit of an issue, not having access to a pool regularly. And then coming down from the dry elevation from Colorado into a hot and humid Louisville, that was going to be one of my concerns, right, you know. Yeah. But weather ended up being perfect on race day. It was low 80s, mostly cloudy and overcast. And the one kicker for this race was you carry an American flag for the run for the duration of the half marathon. And that's a really hard thing to practice with. So I knew part of it was going to come down to my running fitness, but also just like the right mental attitude of saying, you're not going to hit your normal race paces. This is about something bigger than yourself. And be able to hold a pace that, one, you could be proud of, two, that represented the flag and the Gold Star family program well. And when you cross the finish line, that you don't just collapse into a heap of an Ironman mess, you know, that you can actually cross and be able to do the social interactions with the families and the Ironman Foundation, interviews and stuff like that afterwards. So did the swim, hit my goal for that. The bike was definitely my strongest aspect. Like I mentioned, that's what I was training for mostly. And put up a really competitive time. So there were about 2,700 athletes at this race, and I put down the 20th fastest bike split.
Oh, wow.
So I was really happy with that. Got off the bike, grabbed the flag, and then I just tried to hold a steady heart rate, steady pace, steady heart rate. And competitors were going past me, giving me, you know, fist bumps, high fives.
That's great.
Service members were stopping and saluting the flag as I ran past them. The course was lined with people almost the entire way, with like people throwing barbecues on this, like in their front yards.
Oh, that's so cool.
It went through a park where people were out just like picnicking. And whenever I ran by, everyone would cheer and chant USA, USA, or they would thank you, like thank me for my service. Or like I mentioned, veterans would stop and salute the American flag as it went by. So,
that must have really given you like a lot of more, like probably boosted your energy and your motivation to keep pushing.
Absolutely. That's awesome. There were some punchy hills on that course, and the legs were aching a little bit, but there was no way I was going to walk with that flag. Absolutely not.
Right.
Like whatever it took to get up and over all those hills. And the fans definitely helped that. And then the finishing shoot in downtown Louisville, it was completely aligned with spectators and restaurants, and you know, music was blasting and a huge, like just electric atmosphere. So running down the finishing chute, people were just going nuts. Like I didn't feel anything in my legs at that point.
Yeah.
It was just an awesome experience.
That's
in general.
That's really cool. That definitely like paints a picture of what you were, you know, where you were. I can definitely see it. You know, that's very inspirational as far as like you conditioning and training yourself and preparing for this. Is this something that you try to keep yourself in this kind of shape all the time? Or, I mean, obviously it's probably easier when you have something to kind of anchor yourself to as far as a goal that's coming up. But like, where do you find the motivation to continually stay, you know, conditioned and fit like this?
Yeah, it changes. You hit the nail on the head saying it's easier when you have a goal to be working towards. Mm-hmm. So over the last couple of years, I've had some like personal experiences I wanted to go have. Like doing the full Ironman in 2022, that was a 6-month training program. Just to be able to finish that race in a healthy manner, not even to be competitive, just to not let my body break down during the race. So that was a big commitment. I got into a cycling team this year here in Denver, so starting to compete actually on that, and that's why my bike split was so strong this year, because I was focusing mostly on that. But also goes back to just my athletic career previously, collegiate athlete baseball, professional athlete baseball, and then just knowing that I feel better when I'm active, living a healthier lifestyle, wake up happier every morning. So in a way, training for this was also a way for me like to keep my sanity and everything.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. Like I had mentioned when we were out in Virginia, just doing the mission every day, day in, day out, it was something I could look forward to every day. It's like, you know what, I'm going to go do this 15-mile run, and it's going to be hot and it's going to be humid, but it's for a good cause. And
sure.
That was like you had mentioned, like it's your anchor on right. What you're doing it for.
Yeah, and I am by no means a competitive athlete, and I never have been, and I don't have that experience, but I definitely know what it feels like to kind of juxtapose when you are active and you're going to the gym and you're working out and you're staying fit, as opposed to like when you're not. And, you know, it's easy to find yourself bogged down with work and other responsibilities, and it's you know, you kind of can put those things on the back burner, and they, you know, feel that difference of like, man, I don't feel as good as I usually do, or I don't look as good as I usually do.
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you know, to any service members that are listening who might be like feeling like, oh man, I don't have time to get to the gym or to exercise, you know, I'm working so much, or I got so many other life stressors that are going on, what would you say to them as far as finding that time to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be a big commitment from the start. You don't need to go out and set a race and have a perfect 6-month plan for it, or you don't need to have this crazy goal of you want to, you know, bench 315 pounds right out the gate. It just comes down to taking that first step and staying committed to it, whether that's going to the gym for 10 minutes or just taking 10 minutes out of the end of your day to just put work on the back of your mind and say, I'm going to be physically active for these 10 minutes. And then you start to see how you physically change, how you start to mentally change. You start looking forward to that time more and more, as you stay committed to it. You start to notice how you want to eat healthier because it makes you feel better. And then you start to see how it impacts the rest of your life. And it kind of just snowballs into a point where, you shape your life around it in a lot of ways. So for anyone that is struggling to either like get into a routine or they keep falling in and out of fitness and health, just keep in mind that it always comes down to just doing a little bit, and that little bit turns into a little bit more. You don't have to go and do an hour-long workout every single day, but as long as you're committed to doing something, that's where it starts.
Sure. Personally, I feel like it's really beneficial to have an activity that doesn't even feel like work or exercise, but is obviously like, you know, even like skateboarding or snowboarding,
yeah,
or
absolutely.
This weekend I'm going to go paddleboarding, and that's all really great exercise, but it doesn't feel like exercise,
right.
You know? And that seems kind of like with these different events that you've participated in, that's probably been the case for you as well.
Yeah, for sure. Especially for those in Colorado, there's so much out here, whether it's, like riding your bike around the city, just going for a hike, taking your dog to the park and taking your dog for a walk, and then maybe say, next time I'm going to take my dog for a 5-minute run. Mm-hmm. And just seeing how it progresses and get out and have different experiences. And then all of a sudden you're just being outside and being physically active more. And it goes into what you're talking about, where it doesn't have to be a regimen at the gym to be active. Anything that you enjoy that gets you wanting to, you know, get your heart rate up a little bit and get a little bit of soreness in the muscles, that's always a good start.
Absolutely. So getting back to the charity then with the foundation, Was the Walker family out there then with you?
They weren't. I asked them if they'd be able to, but Micah's widow, she was already traveling that weekend for a different event, and Bandit was able to fill me in on that. So sometimes if you're fortunate with the Gold Star program, some of the athletes get to present the flag to the family at the end of the race. We didn't get to see that in Louisville. None of the families were able to come out from the six of us total. Three of us were carrying flags for the race. So it's something that I would be like more than happy to get to them in some way or another. But after talking with Bandit and he made his family aware, it sounds like that was about the limit of how they had to be incorporated, which is personally, I'm completely okay with that. Like, I didn't want this to end up being a burden on their family. So, well, you have to be in Louisville for this weekend for this event where this person that you hardly or don't even know is doing this thing for you. I didn't want it to be like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it kind of shook out the way it should have. She was supporting something that she already had on the calendar.
All right. Why do you feel it's important that you know, for yourself or just service members in general, participate in things like this in order to, you know, keep the memories of these folks alive?
Yeah. For me, it comes down to when you are in the military, you're in a community, and that can be supporting each other on a day-to-day basis. That can be supporting someone that's deployed and making sure everything back home is taken care of. That can be the VA once you get out and retire. And then in this case, in the event that a military member passes, that their family is still taken care of. And it's something I hold with pride, being able to help my community, be able to help military members. Because that's one of the unique things about us in uniform is that we come from everywhere. And we have all walks of life in the U.S. military. And actually being able to put something forward and say, like, I'm here to support in any way I can and all facets, that's what keeps us as a family, and that's what keeps us productive too. So I do think it's really important not just to support each other and say like, yeah, I got your back, buddy, to whoever you might work with on a daily basis, but the bigger picture as well, that we're a relatively small community in the size of the U.S. population in total, and I think we need to be there for each other the whole way. So
awesome. All right. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so, man.
All right. Whatever. Well, that's great. No, that's excellent. Well, thank you very much for sitting down with me today and talking about this. And again, it's inspirational in a lot of ways as far as, you know, helping your fellow service members and their families, and also, you know, the importance of fitness and finding ways to channel that. So
yeah, I appreciate your time. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, sir. Cool.